The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison, and oh my gosh, I am so excited to hang out with you guys today. I'm in the best mood on this Monday morning because we are all going to hang out today and get caught up. Oh, 2 months without you guys. This was so unintentional taking this break. I don't want to rehash it all out here because I have been putting some updates on Patreon, patreon.com/artyfriends. It's not that I want it to be behind a paywall. I just feel really comfortable sharing candidly, open, and honest on Patreon. And so as I was going through my decision process of what the future of Arty Friends entails, I was really transparent on Patreon about should I do it, should I not do it? And the update is there. I don't know if I want to say too much because I want to keep it light and happy and fun today. But if you're looking for some more details, go over to Patreon. So for today's episode, there's no set topic. I'm just going to give you guys life updates from what's been going on in my world the last 2 months and share your peaks and a bunch of peaks that have happened for me. Buckle in. I feel like it's going to be a pretty long episode. To set the scene, I am out in our garden shed that we renovated. I'll go more into that, but it is such a vibe out here. I feel like I'm in my own little studio. It's private. It's quiet. I just lit some Palo Santo. I had my coffee. I took Hayes down to the canal with peaches and we fed the ducks, which, side note, ducks are so mean. I've been feeding the ducks with him and peaches like every couple of days since he's been born. And man, ducks, birds, swans, they have a hierarchy and they're not just these cute, sweet little animals. It is raw feeding these ducks. Like they fight over this bread. It's very fascinating. But yeah, we did that this morning. I made some breakfast and put him down for a nap. And now I get to update you guys. So I think I'm going to jump right in to peaks of the week because then we just have that out of the way and I can just go in whatever direction these personal updates unfold. When I posted the peak of the week box on the Instagram story yesterday, oh my God, it was so heartwarming. Like you guys being so excited that I'm recording. Do you know how good that feels? Like, oh, my heart is soaring. I'm going to read some of them. Anna was like, yay, in all capitals. Katie said, yay, 3 exclamation marks. Kimberly said, peak of the week is that you're recording an episode this week. China said, seeing AF come back, heart. Hannah said, getting an Arty Friends podcast episode, heart. Kay said, having the podcast be back. There's a bunch more. So truly, thank you guys for your excitement because it is fueling my excitement. And some peaks of what's going on in your guys' world. Velvet said, scored a ton of vintage Power Rangers birthday decor for my husband's 40th birthday. It was such a fun theme and everyone loved it. Paige said, I got my dream job. Eric had an Americana-inspired barbecue with his family. And Jillian said, first time in Charleston for a wedding. Kat said, on my honeymoon and can't wait to listen on my flight home. Lauren said, taking my 2-year-old daughter on her first family trip, just the 3 of us, to Chicago for the week. Kylie said, new job from a stay-at-home mom, 1 8-hour day a week. IV therapy position so I can stay home with Tegan. And Jenica said, booked a Euro backpacking trip for this summer. Jaden said, realizing stress is the problem. None of my healthy habits can work if I'm in chronic stress. Facts. So glad you realized that. Max said, on a bachelorette trip in Portugal, so lucky to celebrate my friend. And Danielle said, getting on a 1-way flight and moving to Sydney. Oh my goodness, life is happening for you guys. In 2 months, look at all of you out here taking trips, making memories, going after your dream jobs, spending time with loved ones. So cool. I forgot how much I love reading your guys' peaks and just knowing that everyone everywhere in their own lives have all of these ups and downs and highs and lows of things happening. It's so cool just writing that along with you guys. I'm going to go in chronological order, hopefully, if I don't get too sidetracked, of what happened from when we last recorded. So that would have been the end of February when we were doing Kara's Farewell February. And I was headed down to Tulum, Mexico to do my postpartum birth integration trip. Sounds like a mouthful. Pretty much what that meant to me was intentionally processing giving birth. If you have gone through labor, I think no explanation needed. You know what I mean. It is intense. It is beautiful, but it is ugly. It is hard. It is so mentally trippy that you go from having this baby in your belly that you've been waiting 9 months to meet. Then you go through the most excruciating pain of your life. Then you get to meet this beautiful baby who just is suddenly on your chest and is out of your belly. And maybe you had complications and there was a whole lot more to it. But it's just the quickest change of personally my life that I've ever experienced in such a quick boom, boom. Like my life was me and Clay and Peaches and it was just us and I was pregnant and you're waiting and waiting to meet the baby. And then all of a sudden the baby is here. And you are in the newborn trenches, the newborn bubble. You're all figuring out life together. It is just crazy. And so when you're in that newborn stage, I feel like it's really easy to have the primary focus being on taking care of the baby and learning what you guys all need from each other. I believe that most women don't get the opportunity to do this birth integration because so much of their energy is being devoted to the newborn baby. And I was like, I want to process this. It's not that my labor was so horribly traumatic. You guys can go back and listen. I did a full breakdown in December, 48 hours after he was born. So it was pretty fresh in my mind. But the intensity of it, no matter what kind of birth you have, I think you got to process it. It's in your mind, your body, your spirit. It's not just a physical recovery. Like you really need to take the time emotionally and spiritually to grasp what you went through during that. And so that's all to say, I felt like I needed to go on a trip to do that one-on-one with Hayes so that I could change up our regular routine that me, Clay, Hayes, and Peaches, our dog, have in order to put my attention on healing from birth. And you guys know, Tulum is my safe space. It's where I go when I'm overstimulated from life and I need to focus on me and go inward. I ended up living there for a year, which was beautiful, but I needed to go back. I needed to reconnect with myself. And I think I also associate Tulum with myself pre-baby. Like I'm like, oh, that's where I go to, just heal. And so going there, my intention was to process birth, bond with Hayes one-on-one, and see what came through. And so I booked a one-way. I was there for a week. It helped so much. I got a little Airbnb with a cute rooftop, had a pool, and was in great walking distance to a lot of my favorite places. Traveling with a newborn, pretty crazy. It was a 11 and a half hour flight one-way from Amsterdam to Cancun. And then I hired a private driver to pick me up in Cancun and take me to Tulum because my flight got in pretty late in Cancun, like 10 p.m. or something. And so I didn't want to deal with public transportation at that hour. And so she just dropped us off right at the Airbnb. And it was a gal I had worked with previously when I lived there. So that was easy getting from point A to point B. I feel like I'm a liar, but Hayes literally didn't cry once on the flight. I think that traveling with a baby at that age, he was 10 weeks, I think, was the sweet spot because he's still so small and so new. And so he could fit right on my lap. I nursed him on takeoff and landing. He didn't show any signs of his ears hurting. I had an aisle seat, got up, would walk around a little bit, go change his diaper in the bathroom. And yeah, honestly, it was not bad at all. I only brought a carry-on because I didn't want to deal with like having a bunch of luggage, put him in the baby carrier, and checked the car seat for free. So Yeah, I can do a whole other episode in the future about traveling with a newborn or just a baby in general tips. But yeah, I say if you do have a baby, it's easy to build it up in your head as being this like impossible task. But if you made it through pregnancy and labor and managing the child at home, you can do it. And then, yeah, when I got there, it was fun to go around to my favorite spots. Right when I got there, I didn't tell any of my Tulum friends that I was there. The first day, I went to this, it's like a, if you've been to Tulum, it's Holistica. There's an art walk, there's a restaurant, there's an herb shop, there's a pool. They do cacao and hula hooping. Literally every modality of healing, they have a class or a workshop there. So it's fun to just go and hang out in the open spaces and see who you could run into. So I did that immediately the next morning after I got there. And the workers, they know me because I used to go all the time. They were like, oh my gosh, the baby. And they like, I don't even know if I should say this, but they were like passing him around because everyone was so excited to see him. And they're like speaking Spanish. I'm catching some of what's going on, but like the workers are just passing around Hayes. He's loving it because he's such a little flirt. He loves attention. And then there was a girl there who had like a really nice camera, like a DSLR. And she was like, this is so sweet. Can I take photos? And so it was like a little impromptu photo shoot. And the owner was there. He's like, oh my gosh, I have to show you what I've been working on. And so we took a whole tour around and Hayes, yeah, was just loving life. I was loving life. Then I walked to my cacao spot and multiple of my friends were there and they're like, oh my God, I didn't even know you were in town. And I was like, literally day one, I just got here last night. And once again, everyone was loving on Hayes and it felt so good. Like if you have ever been postpartum, you know that the emotions can be tough, highest of highs, lowest of lows. So just being poured on with love, both for myself and the baby and everyone congratulating us, like it was healing me and softening me in the warm sunshine. It did so much. And there was a new coffee shop that opened that was really close to the Airbnb I was staying at. And thankfully they open at 7 a.m. because something to consider, it's a 7-hour time difference from Amsterdam to Tulum. And so let's say Hayes would normally wake up at like 8 a.m. Well, with the time change, that would be 1 a.m. Thankfully, he would wake up and I would feed him or put him in the shower. We'd hang out for a little bit and then I would get him to go back down. But most mornings, he was up and ready for the day at 3 or 4 a.m. So him and I would have a whole little morning from 3, 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. when this coffee shop opened in the Airbnb room. We would hang out and do tummy time. We'd go up to the roof and watch the sunrise and feed and just be sweet together. And, you know, the world was quiet and I was just able to process, you know, there was nothing to do, nowhere to be. So it kind of worked out really beautifully to have those quiet hours. And then at 7 a.m., I would go over to the coffee shop and have breakfast and do a little work on my laptop. And then the day would unfold from there. And so most days we were in bed by like 5 p.m. because that's like midnight Amsterdam time, which is like a crazy bedtime for a baby. But what am I going to do? Go to bed at 2 p.m. for the day? So 5 felt like a decent compromise in the middle. And so, yeah, we would sleep from like 5 to 2-ish, 3-ish, whatever. And of course, waking up every couple hours to feed. But it really didn't matter what time it was on the clock. It was just nice bonding time the whole week. And so from there, I was like, you know what? I'm already on this side of the world. I might as well go to Omaha. And so I texted my family and my friends and I was like, what if I just impulse came to Omaha? And they were like, yeah, obviously come. And so my mom, she's so sweet. She like made up the whole bedroom for me, got Hayes a little crib, even though like totally transparent. I just co-sleep with him every night. You guys can make your own choice on that. You can judge me. It's whatever. It's what I feel is best for me. And I love cuddling him all night, every night. It is my favorite thing in the world. But it was really sweet of her to get the crib because it was useful for naps, because while I was there, I was like, well, I'm going to be booked and busy. We had an event at 1404 with like a matcha pop-up. We did a staff bonding event. And then just so happened, maybe he saw I was in town, I don't know. But the person who owns the property management company that I lease the retail space of my store from sent me a text and was like, hey, we've been wanting to do a feature video on the shop. I have a videographer. Would you be interested in us like coming into film and doing a video? And I was like, yes, perfect timing because I'm in town. Let's do it. So I had a couple girls model with me and that was fun out of all of our comfort zones, but we did it. And then I had to do some upgrades in the shop. I hung up new mirrors because I wanted bigger mirrors in the dressing rooms. I painted the checkout counter, revived the plants and the decor on the top shelves, and I did my taxes. And like I said, I was staying at my mom's house. And so one morning, her and I were just talking about when I was a baby, she used to take me to the mall. At the time, it was either Sears or JCPenney's to do photos. And this is like a core memory of my childhood. We would do photos all of the time. Some of my most favorite baby and childhood photos are from these mall photo shoots, you know, with the bear and in the little fluffy basket. Just the most like stereotypical kid photos, but something about them makes them so iconic. And so we were kind of joking about getting Hayes's newborn photos done at JCPenney. And we were like, do they even do that? Like, is JCPenney even still in business? Like, honestly, I didn't know. We look it up. There is a JCPenney at the mall in Omaha. They do newborn photos. And they had a package. It was like the entire digital album and the photo shoot itself was like $100. And we looked at the schedule of when we could go in, and like the next day at 11 a.m. we were able to go in. So we're like, okay, we have to do this. And I packed him like 3 or 4 different outfits. Me and my mom just went. It was us and the photographer. She was very energetic. You can definitely tell she was a newborn photographer, but she got some great smiles out of him. It was so fun. She was totally understanding about I had to pause in the middle of the shoot to feed him, and then he was spitting up a little bit and I wanted the different outfits, but they turned out so good. On my website, I'll put a blog post of those photos. So honestly, highly recommend if you have a baby or kids and you want cheap photos, look no further than the JCPenney photo shoot studio, apparently. And I don't say that to like promote corporate. It's just if I wouldn't have probably paid, I don't know how much newborn photos cost with like a proper freelance photographer who has their own business. Probably, I think like $500. I wouldn't have probably shelled out for that. But I was like, okay, $100. We get the whole album in and out. Let's do it. So if you have been lacking family photos, maybe that's something that you could look into. And then also while I was back in Omaha, I wanted Hayes to be able to meet his great-grandparents, which would be Clay's grandparents, Hayes's great-grandparents. And they are obviously much older. It would not be practical for them to fly to Europe. That would be really, really hard on them. So I took Hayes to go meet them, and it was so sweet. He was the talk of the retirement center. Oh my gosh, all of these old ladies in the lobby were just swooning over him. It was so cute. And at one point, I was off kind of around the side feeding him, breastfeeding him. And this woman walked by and I could see her. She was probably, I don't know, 25 meters away or something like that. Could see me down the hallway, and she just stopped and she was staring at us. And I could see her start crying. And so I waved her over and I was like, hi. And she was like, sorry, this is just so beautiful. It caught me so off guard. And like, we don't get to see things like this here all the time. And it was making me miss my own kids and that phase of life. And I recently lost my husband. And she was like, it's just such a beautiful moment. And there was a chair next to me. And I was like, you can sit down. Oh my God, I'm like going to cry right now. And she just sat with me while I fed him and just stared at both of us. And I just like let her cry, and it made me cry. Now it's going to make me cry again. Ah! It was just so sweet. And like something about babies and old people, they really remind you of the circle of life and like how fast it all goes. So that was really sweet to take him there and have him meet Clay's grandparents. I also got to see some friends. If you guys remember Sam that we had on a couple years ago, he has the whole Interrail Sunnies a priori. They are always doing cool stuff and opening new businesses. They do the Exurban Run Club, always stuff happening over there. So one night I pumped a bottle and my mom watched Hayes, and Jesse and I went to check out the new listening bar that they opened. It's like only vinyl music. It was really cool. I'll link it in the show notes if you guys are in Omaha and want to go check it out. And then what else? I organized my storage unit a little bit, as I do. Oh my gosh, when I took Hayes to my dad's office, I also did this like the day after I got into town, and he was also like parading Hayes around. He works at a bank, the mortgage loan office, and people were just smiling, like truly babies. Just not everyone has to be a baby person, but I think a lot of people seeing a smiling baby, it does something to you. It just makes you feel grateful and happy. And my dad had also mentioned that he was doing this 10K run out at Mahoney State Park at the Strategic Air and Space Museum. It was a leprechaun race because it was right around St. Patrick's Day. So the run started inside the Strategic Air and Space Museum, and your ticket to do the run included entry into the museum. And wow, that museum is really, really cool, for one. And they had a Star Wars exhibit. And my dad is like the biggest Star Wars fan ever. So he took Hayes in there and they were just really bonding. It was very sweet. But so the run starts inside the museum and then you go out, and the run was all through Mahoney State Park, which it's not like Nebraska is the most beautiful place on earth, but for Nebraska, it was really beautiful. And then finished back inside. And my dad had asked if I wanted to do it with me, or at least go and watch him, or maybe walk. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to run, but I'll come, I'll cheer you on. And then as the days were passing, because I got into town, I think on like Monday, and this race was on Saturday, I was like, you know what? I'm just making excuses. I should do it. I ran cross country and track. It'll feel so good to move my body in that way, and it'll boost my confidence. And worst case, okay, I stop and I walk the rest of the way. Like, it'll be fine. And I ended up running the whole thing. I never stopped to walk. And even at the end, I had enough in me to do like a hard finish. And then once I got to the end, I jogged back probably 800 meters or so to this last big hill and waited for my dad, finished the race with him so that he could have that final push and support. And it was really sweet to do that together, because my dad is the one who got me into running. When I was a kid, we would do 5Ks and 10Ks together. And to be able then full circle to do that when he's a grandpa, and to have Hayes there, like when I saw Hayes on the side, I had to run over and give him a little kiss on the head. My sister was holding him during the race. It was just really, really sweet. But yeah, the Omaha trip was really, really wonderful. And then I flew back to Harlem, and it was a tough journey back. I got delayed out of Omaha. I was supposed to go through Detroit. It was just supposed to be Omaha, Detroit, Detroit, Amsterdam. But no, they rerouted me to Atlanta. And I got to Atlanta. There was a storm. Then they rerouted me to Paris. And then that made me miss my connection because we were delayed out of Atlanta. So then I hung out at the Paris airport for like a day. And then finally got a flight from Paris back to Amsterdam. It was over 24 hours of travel on the way back with just myself and Hayes. He did great. But my body was tired by the end of that, and all that time zone change. And obviously in Omaha, I was doing the most and had just ran a 10K the day before I left, so I was sore. So by the time I got back to Harlem, Clay met me at this nice restaurant that's right by the train station, and we had an awesome dinner. I had a burger. We both had a glass of wine. I caught him up on everything. And then we walked back to our place, and I was like, oh my God, I am so tired, and was telling him just how different it felt in Omaha to have the support of my mom and my sister and my dad helping with him. And it made me realize, like, wow, yeah, living abroad, we don't have any of that help ever. Like, I can't just have my mom come over for 2 hours so I can go to a yoga class. We're really on our own little island out here. And so he obviously got to the whole 3 weeks I was gone, he was here by himself. So he was feeling totally restored as a new dad. He got to kick back and get caught up on work and sleep in. I was like, okay, this week I need that now, even though until I had done, you know, the spiritual healing stuff, and I went and got my nails done in Tulum and a massage, and I did a Japanese head spa that was freaking amazing. But then with the almost 2 weeks in Omaha and then the long travel day back, I was like, I am ready for some TLC again. And Clay was so supportive. He signed me up for this incredible hour and a half massage at this place here in Harlem called Sir House. She actually is from California and had worked in like really bougie spas for like 14 years or something, and now opened her own place here. It was unreal. I got my eyebrows threaded, laminated, and tinted. I went to a cacao ceremony and a meditation class. He bought me some new sneakers because I'm cheap. You guys know I'm like thrifty and love a good deal, and it can be hard for me to spend money on material things. Like, I'll book a flight, boom, let's go. But when it comes to material things, it's like so hard for me to buy them sometimes. I don't know why I'm so cheap in that way. I just love experiences over having more stuff. And Clay's like, sneakers that have support for your feet is not an unnecessary expense. Like, you need to be wearing nice shoes. You're walking all the time. Because part of why I was so sore from being in the airport is doing all of those steps while carrying Hayes in totally busted out sneakers. So he went and got me some new shoes. And wow, I must say, amazing what having arch support can do for a foot. And I also realized that that is what was making my pelvic floor sore. Apparently walking in bad shoes is really bad for your pelvic floor postpartum. So yeah, lesson learned. I feel totally fine now. Now I'm back in Pilates and doing yoga and Sculpt and all of that stuff. But I could have accelerated my recovery if I had just bought a new pair of freaking sneakers sooner. But that's okay. Clay had my back. He got me taken care of. And then we had some less fun appointments to do. We had to get Hayes' Dutch residency card. We had to set up Clay's coaching business with the KVK, which is like the government here. So for all of those type of appointments, we have to go to Amsterdam and go to the government offices and wait. And it's never a fun thing, but it's part of living abroad to maintain our residency. I also went to Amsterdam to get the skin tags in my armpits removed. Those came from pregnancy. I remember the first time I like went to shave my armpit and saw them, I was like, what is this? Like, come on. I have moles all over my body, but the skin tags were like really raised. And I just did not like them. Maybe for some people, they wouldn't bother them, but I did not want them. And I was like, you know what? The weather's getting nicer. I'm going to be wearing sleeveless shirts all the time. I'm going to go get them removed. So I found this place that did them. Impulse, made an appointment, went the next day. Okay, it was like actually such a non-event. So if this is something that you're struggling with as well, I'm here to tell you. It was really easy. I had almost 10 between the two armpits, and she just like burned them off. Obviously did not feel great, but I was holding Hayes and it was not so excruciatingly painful that I couldn't maintain holding him. And I was in and out in like 20 minutes tops, and there was no recovery. Basically just like, don't put deodorant on top of the wounds for like the next 2 days and be careful like having stuff rub on them. But they healed so well, you would never even know anything was there. And guess how much it cost? It was 75 euros. So times 1.2. Like a little less than $100 for the appointment and to get them all taken off. Cake. It was great. Also, right after I got back from Omaha, we did this shed project, which I was telling you guys at the beginning of the episode, our garden shed. So we would have done it earlier, but we are just renting this place from the gal who owns it. But we had to ask the property manager, who had to ask her. And then we had to add an addendum to our lease to super clarify that we were never going to ask for money for redoing the shed. And I think that that's like a Dutch thing, because they tend to be sticklers and really frugal, like really, really frugal, more than any culture I've ever met. Love the Dutch, but that is something about them that I'm like you don't tip in the Netherlands also. Like, maybe you round, like if you go out to a nice dinner and your bill is $91, you literally only round up to like $100. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm so not used to it. So I still tip like everywhere I go. And that's why I feel like I get such good service on my massages and facials and waxing and coffee, because I'm like, I'm always going to tip like 10 to 15% at least. And they're always like, wow, whoa, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm like, this is so crazy, because if you only tip 10% in the United States, I feel like they would spit in your food and cry, which it's so different because people's income actually depends on tips in the United States in a lot of situations, where here it's not like that. So they're just kind of like, whoa. But anyway, it was a long process to get the full go ahead from our owner on doing the garden shed, because I think she couldn't believe that we were willing to just pay for materials to fix it up ourselves and do the labor, and weren't going to be like, hey, here's the bill, like reimburse us. Because we felt like for us, it was just easier and cheaper to have a little office at our house than to have to go rent some other office that's less cute. And if it's raining, we got to get on our bike. And since Clay and I are like both home solo parenting, it's nice to be able to just be like, switch in and out. We don't have to commit by going across town. So we can just pop out to work for 20 minutes, go back inside, make a coffee at home, bring it out to the shed, go in for lunch or to pee. It doesn't have to be this like big commitment to go into the office, but it still gives the benefit of the separation from the main house. And so while I was gone in Tulum and Omaha, we had gotten the approval from the owner to move forward with the project, which was good timing because, like I said, Clay had those couple weeks here to himself. And he was like, it was nice to have something to work on while you were gone. He's like, otherwise, I feel like I was going to go crazy going from having so much responsibility taking care of me and Hayes to being like, I have only work and myself to take care of now. Like, what the heck? So he started on phase one of the shed project, which was just like cleaning it out and patching up all of the holes, because it's really humid here in the Netherlands. It rains a lot. So there were some corners of the wood where it was like totally rotted out that you could see from inside to the outside. So he had to fix up the structural part of the shed, which is not something I was going to be helpful to anyhow. So he did all the prep of getting the bones squared away. And then when I got here, we did the fun stuff. Well, to me, the fun stuff together, which was painting, laying the floor, and then decorating it. It did end up taking us probably 2 or 3 weeks because we would like take turns. He would paint, I would paint, he would do the floor, I would do some touch-up stuff, then we'd decorate. But now it's done and we have it. And it has literally changed our lives, because whoever's working actually gets stuff done instead of being in the living room. Like, it was so hard to actually focus. So usually if one person is working, the other person would like go for a walk with Hayes and Peaches. But obviously, even if you go for a walk for like 45 minutes, which is a long walk, it's really not that much time for the other person to be working. Like, most days, Clay has 4 to 5 hours of client calls. So now it's just so much better. Like, out right now, I'm podcast recording out in the shed. They're inside. Maybe Hayes woke up from his nap already. I don't know. But Clay's got it and I don't have to worry about it. And we don't have to overly coordinate our days now. And the lighting back here is really good. I've got my little Buddha statue, Palo Santo, a cute vintage mirror. I found this little shelf hanger thing at the thrift store, so I painted that. Clay has one of his handmade macrame pieces on the wall. We have our yoga mats. It's cozy. It's cute. I also have pictures on my website, so you can look there if you want a visual. And then after the shed, I was thinking, wow, we had this idea and it was well worth the money to follow through on that idea. And I wish we had done it sooner. Oh, maybe I should apply that type of thinking to an espresso machine. Because I had told you guys how much Clay and I were spending on takeaway coffee. It was not good, like easily $500 a month. I know. And the coffee shop on our street doesn't open until 8 a.m. So I also felt like I wasn't enjoying my mornings enough, because I wake up before 8 a.m. and I was like wishing the time away, waiting for the coffee shop to open. And I'm not a morning person, but I don't love mornings as much without the coffee. If I have a coffee, perfect, fine. I can wake up at whatever time. But because I didn't have a coffee machine, I was waiting for the coffee shop to open, which also, let me say, we had bought like a pod espresso type of machine and it broke. I bought it last summer And this company was so annoying. I sent it back because I was like, okay, this literally broke the first week. And they were like, no, it's not broken. And they sent me back the same broken one. And I had like five different people mess with it. And everyone was like, yes, doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Like the pod, it wouldn't poke holes into the pod for it to actually go through. So it would just be like pushing water and it would spray everywhere. And like you would get no coffee. And half the time it didn't even turn on and it would like shake. It was so sus. I wanted to like actually go to the Better Business Bureau for this company because they'd also bought a nice fan from them. And that broke too. I'm like, I think this company is like a scam. Their Instagram, they turned off their comments because everyone commenting was saying the same. So I'll say the company's name. It's called Create, C-R-E-A-T-E. Super aesthetic products do not work. So then I had a bad taste in my mouth because I had spent like, I don't know, a couple hundred dollars at least on this bougie looking fan and espresso machine for them to not work. So then I didn't want to buy another espresso machine. But I didn't end up saving myself any money because I just went to the coffee shop every day, sometimes twice a day, and a new espresso machine would have paid for itself in 1 month. So I finally said, we're doing it, I'm buying a nice espresso machine, not one that's going to break. So we went to the store, which is actually the coffee place on our street, and I got a little Sage Bambino, which I'm pretty sure Sage is the same brand as Breville. Or like the same company, but Sage is like the European version and Breville is the American version. I'm not sure, but I love it. Oh my gosh. I was a barista back in college. I'd like think about those barista days. I would go in at 5 a.m. and work until like my 8:30 class. So I'd be there till like 8 and I would be on headset. We had drive-through and customers in store. And I would be trying to do both and make coffees and get people stuff through the drive-thru and do the checkout in person or inside the store. And back then, minimum wage was like $8.50 an hour. And so I think I was getting maybe $10 an hour with tips. So I would do all of that. Wake up at 5 a.m., bust my ass for $30. I'm so grateful to not be in that situation anymore. At the time, I didn't really mind it. But looking back, I'm like, wow, that was a lot of effort. Anyway, I had to lean in to remembering my barista skills. And I did, actually. I feel like DIY home barista, I've been doing really well. Taught Clay how to steam milk and do everything. And now we are not buying $500 of coffee from the local coffee place on our street anymore. It was funny because the place where we get the coffee also sells espresso machines. So when we went in to the two workers that we see literally every day who have watched us at our best and worst, because there's some mornings that we would go in there and I feel like they were like, oh yeah, they're new parents. It's this dad and son that own the place. And I was like, guys, I've got good news and I've got bad news. What do you want first? And the son was like, bad news. I was like, well, you're not going to be seeing us every day. We're not coming in here every day anymore. And he's like, oh man, why? And I was like, okay, so you're ready for the good news? He was like, yeah. And I was like, we're buying an espresso machine. And he was like, all right. So he showed me the machines and helped us pick out the one that we went with. And then we bought our coffee there. And we still see them probably every 4 days now because they have a cinnamon roll that Clay and I really, really like. So even though we can make coffee ourselves, the cinnamon roll there is just so freaking good. We've decided, Clay calls it Treat Yourself Tuesdays. But then it started escalating because we wanted more cinnamon rolls. So I was like, make yourself happy Monday. Like we just kept going so that every day of the week, it's kind of like a bit. Now we make a jingle that if we buy the cinnamon roll, it's like, have a fantastic Friday, cinnamon roll day. Like, I don't know. You guys get what I'm saying though. So we do still stop in and support them. But having the espresso machine at home has been absolutely fantastic. Then a not so fun thing, perhaps due to the cinnamon roll addiction, I was overdue for the dentist and Clay had a cavity. This was so bad of us. So we hadn't been to the dentist in over a year, which is terrible, I know. But we had moved here in June and then it took a few months for our residency to get approved. I don't think we got it back until like October. And you can't enroll in their healthcare system until you have residency. Obviously, like, you know, that makes sense. But so we couldn't even enroll in registering with a general practitioner, at a dentist office, with a physio, any of that stuff until the end of October once all of that was improved. Well, at that point, I was like 36 weeks pregnant. So my mind was not really thinking about the dentist. My mind was, I haven't had literally any prenatal appointments and we need to focus on that. And then we had Hayes, and in the newborn trenches, I'm not really thinking about the dentist either. Well, fast forward to now, I was definitely thinking about the dentist because I have a permanent retainer on my top and bottom that's like glued in, and it's really hard to clean behind it and underneath it. And this is, I'm totally outing myself, but there was like black on one of my teeth. And I was like, oh my God, my tooth died. Like I thought the tooth rotted. And so one day when I saw that, I was literally like bawling and having like a mental breakdown to Clay. I was like, my tooth died. I'm going to have to wear like a retainer with a fake tooth. What am I going to do? I'm 31 years old and my teeth are already dying. Like, this is insane. This is what I get for being a woman and being pregnant. Blah, blah, blah. I was like totally spiraling. And Clay's like, okay, I'm going to call the dentist right now. He calls. The earliest they could get me in was like a week and a half later. And I was like, did you not express how desperate I am? So then I call back and the lady was like, oh, this woman is unhinged. Like, we better get her in. So like 2 days after that, they had put me on the cancellation list. And so I got in 2 days later. We did this intro appointment. And I was like, I'm like, please don't tell me my tooth died. I'm crying at the dentist. Tears are coming out of my eyes. Like, it's so embarrassing. And she's like, it's just stone, which apparently, I hope I don't butcher this, but you have plaque. We all know what plaque is. And the bacteria in plaque is alive, but after a while, that bacteria dies. And so then it turns to stone, which is like a black color. And the stone is bad because it can start to like push down in between the gum and the tooth, causing the decay of the tooth because it's like so hard that it's eroding away the tooth and can go deeper and deeper. And because the stone is like up in the gums, it's really tough to get out. Like, you can't just get that out yourself with dental floss. You have to go in to the dentist and have them like pull it out. Well, it took 3 cleanings so far. I have my 4th one next month to get all the plaque out of up inside my gums, which obviously felt like shit. I've always liked the dentist, but I was really keeping up on going to the dentist in previous years. Like, I would go every 3-6 months, especially down in Colombia and Mexico. Like, it's super affordable. It's like 30-40 bucks to go to the dentist. So I would just be like, kind of in the same note of like wanting a massage or a manicure. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go to the dentist and get my teeth cleaned. Well, now I waited too long and it got so bad. And then it made my gums inflamed. And then it was crushing my confidence because I was like, oh my God, I'm that girl with like inflamed bleeding gums, which also when you're pregnant, they bleed more. So it was a whole thing. But I'm 3 out of 4 cleanings done now. And not only did I go to the dentist, they had to refer me to the specialty dentist at their office. It was so humbling. Clay was keeping up on his better. He had an electric toothbrush. I just had a manual toothbrush. And the dentist made me get an electric toothbrush. Why did I not have an electric toothbrush, you might ask? Because I was being cheap. That's why. And what did it do? It came around to bite me in the ass. Because I just wanted to buy the little 3-euro bamboo toothbrush at the store at the zero waste shop. And Clay is like, no, I'm going to buy an electric toothbrush that actually cleans my teeth. And so his were fine. He had that one cavity, I guess, which maybe that's not fine. But I think it's like the only cavity he's ever had in his life. So all in all, I upgraded, got my electric toothbrush. I will be using the little brushers and the flossers. And I will hopefully never get myself in that much turmoil over my teeth ever again. Dental problems are very real. And I'm pretty sure like the whole connection between your mouth and your gut is like a thing you don't want to mess with. But now I'm feeling much better. I'm smiling again. If you look at my Instagram, you will probably see a shift from soft smiles with my lips closed because I didn't want anyone to see my inflamed gums to now I'm smiling because no more bleeding. And on that high note, spring weather came. Oh my God, the Netherlands, it's brutal here in the winter, let me say. The wind, the 4 p.m. sunsets, the cloudiness, the rain. Over the winter, I was starting to wonder, wow, I chose to move here. Why did I choose this? But now the spring weather came and I'm like, this is why. Everything is blooming. It is so beautiful here. It is electric. It is alive out here. One of my favorite things about the Dutch, because we're all like deprived of the sun, that then in the spring when it comes out, people will move little tables and chairs onto the sidewalk, like right outside their front door, because there's not really like front porches here. Not like in the United States where you have like a porch and a door and then grass and a driveway and then the sidewalk. No, like here you open the door and you're on the sidewalk. It's just boom right there. And so if people want sun, you either go to the park or you just put a chair right outside your front door. So we've been totally doing what the Dutchies do and just putting a chair or a table right outside, right on the sidewalk. And it's so fun. Sip coffee, have some snacks, people watch, people stop by, you chit chat a little bit. They say hi to Hayes and Peaches. It is so sweet. There's this girl I follow who makes these really aesthetic videos of her life in the Netherlands. I haven't met her yet, kind of manifesting being friends. She seems so creative and just has these really, really enjoyable videos to watch of daily Dutch life. But she posted one the other day of a compilation of Dutch people sitting out on the sidewalk. I'll link it in the show notes so you can see what I'm talking about. And so with that good spring weather, we've been doing that, going and picnicking at the park, feeding the ducks a lot more. I've been to the beach at least 5 times, a couple times solo, a couple times with friends, once with Clay. Hayes is showing quite an affinity for flowers and plants. He just he loves to grab petals and leaves and grass. We like are joking that he's going to be a little botanist. So one day we took a day trip to Leiden for the botanical gardens. This was like the most amazing botanical gardens I've ever experienced in my life. I thought it was just going to be one greenhouse, as most of them are, and maybe like a little outdoor garden. No, this was like a massive property on their university site, like along the canal. There was so many different buildings and different types of installations. There was like a Japanese garden. There was rose bushes. There was tropical plants. There was a gardening area. There was like education centers. There was a cafe. If you are planning to go to Amsterdam at any point in time, highly recommend a day trip to Leiden. It's Leiden, and it's like the Hortus Botanicus Gardens. I'll also link this in the show notes. Hayes had a blast. We had a blast. Leiden is also a really cute little city. You can definitely feel like the university presence in that city. It's nice. And then on a day-to-day basis to get Hayes his flower fix, I always take him to feel the willow trees and to look at flowers around the neighborhoods. I made him a flower garland that he can play with, and he's just mesmerized. I'll be holding him and he just feels and touches and examines flowers. It's like the highlight of his day. It's so sweet. What else? Okay, Jessie came to visit. You guys know one of my best friends, Jessie, her travel queen. She's a wedding photographer. She came over here on a whim because she was at Bridal Fashion Week in New York. And she was like, what are you guys up to this weekend? And I was like, well, Saturday, it's the first vintage market of the season in Delft, where they have the famous Delft pottery. Maybe you guys know it. It's blue. And then on Sunday, we were going to go to Keukenhof, which is the big tulip garden. And I was like, you should definitely come join. We would love to have you. So she got here on Saturday morning. Her flight got in at like 9 a.m. She took the bus here. We had a little breakfast and then immediately left and went down to Delft. Like, she's such a trooper. No sleep, just boom, boom, one thing to the next. And we were going to all the little market stalls at the Delft Vintage Market because I was on a mission for 2 coffee cups with the saucers, because with buying this espresso machine, I thought it'd be so on brand to find some Dutch pottery and enjoy my morning coffee out of these beautiful little coffee cups. Well, we're going to all the stalls and finding everything but coffee cups, like tons of plates, tons of vases, lots of little spoons. They have these tiles that you like hang on the wall that are, it's kind of like a picture frame. That's also what's really famous. I'm like, no, I want some coffee cups. And after like 2 hours of being there, we were doing other stuff, like hanging out. We got coffee, casually browsing these stalls. I was like, all right, it's not meant to be. I said that out loud to Jessie. And then literally the next one, they had the coffee cups. So I got them and I was very happy. And I did also get this candle, like a taper candle holder. That's really beautiful, vintage. And one of the stall vendors, she was saying that their stuff actually has to be vintage there. They can't sell anything modern. So I thought that was really cool because a lot of times nowadays, I feel like things are fake vintage. Like people just buy random knickknacks to have at their market stalls. And it's like from Amazon. And I hate that. I'm like, if I want, I will buy it from Amazon myself if I want it. I came to this vintage market because I want something quirky and old and different. And so if that's you, go down to Delft. It's also a nice day trip from Amsterdam. Then on Sunday, we did the Keukenhof Flower Gardens, which are very famous worldwide. Millions of visitors every year. It's only open in the spring for when the flowers are blooming. So it was really, really cool timing for Jessie to come because, like I said, she's a wedding photographer. And so she took photos for me and Clay as a family with Hayes, and they were so sweet. And I will cherish those forever. The day was just magical. The weather was perfect. You can even bring in your own food and snacks. So we brought a bottle of wine and like some fancy cheese and a picnic blanket. And so we just sat in the gardens and really enjoyed ourselves in the sunshine. It closed at 5 and we were like one of the last people to leave the park. We were like, okay, we'll leave. It was just really, really lovely. I kind of thought that maybe it would be overrated, but I'm happy to report back and say it is not overrated. It is worth coming from another country 100%. I think it is like a life bucket list. And it's so insane that it's less than 10 miles from our apartment. Really, really cool. And then we had some wardrobe upgrades, both for Clay and I. I had sent a full-size Czech suitcase of clothes back with Jessie to sell at my secondhand shop in Omaha, which kind of gave me permission to do some more shopping, which it wasn't just that I needed new clothes. A lot of the stuff that I sent back didn't fit because of pregnancy. Mostly it was just like too big now. And I never bought like actual maternity clothes. I just bought things that were bigger than my regular size. And so it was all still really good stuff that I knew I could sell at the shop. So she took that back. And then the fair-priced vintage market came to Harlem. They go all around Europe, but they're in Harlem, which is where I live, 4 times a year, once per season. And a lot of the stuff that I have in my closet currently is from this vintage market because they do the pricing by category. So like all tops are a certain price, all jackets are a certain price, accessories are a certain price. And that can be good and bad because if it's a really amazing shirt, you're getting a really great deal. But if it's like just an average basic, then it's like kind of expensive for that. So I think you just have to holistically look at the haul and be like, okay, I got 15 items for this price, which is really good. And I was looking forward to going again to their spring one. And then sure enough, they reached out about doing an Instagram collaboration. So they gave me a credit to shop there. And so I ended up getting almost, I think, 10 items with the credit. And my overage balance that I paid was like 28 euros or something. So I felt like that was a really great deal because all I had to do was post a couple of stories. And then I got like a huge wardrobe boost of things I really liked that were all vintage. I got a couple of silk things, some lacy things, a cute sweater vest. It was very exciting. Clay also really likes this market. So he got a couple of things for himself. And we try to do the one in, one out policy on our closet. So then he donated quite a few things and I reorganized both of our closets. I like having nice hangers in our closets because I think it helps keep the inventory in check because it's like, oh, I can't just go out and buy more plastic hangers. It's like, no, this is the amount of hangers we have. Let's keep our clothes in good condition. Let's wash them properly. And that keeps us having quality pieces. It keeps us having things that we love. And if we're not all about it anymore, we can just donate it and get stuff that does excite us. Because I think if you have items in your closet that you really like, it makes getting ready easier and more fun. And while we were doing that closet clean out project, we also did some spring cleaning around the house, did the not so fun, just like deep cleaning, but it always feels so good, and donated some other household goods that we didn't need anymore. And then my mama heart, I had to already donate a bunch of his newborn clothes. He's growing so fast. He's 4.5 months now, but he's wearing size 6 to 9 month. So basically all of the really cute, sweet things that we had got on our registry, he's already outgrown, which made me so sad. But I donated most of them to the secondhand baby boutique on our street. I'm friends with the owner and I was like, listen, just, you can sell them. I don't need money for them. I just want them to go to a good home. And then we also had a bunch of books. Clay loves to read like science fiction books, but they're huge books and they take up a lot of space. And so we donated them to a secondhand bookstore here. And doing both of those activities made us feel really good. Felt nice to let go of some things. And as I have a secondhand store and really believe in keeping things circular, it felt good to also be the person doing the donating. That brings us to Hayes's 4 month sleep leap timeline. He was such a good sleeper for the first few months of his life. I'm not saying I took it for granted, but little man used to sleep anywhere, anytime. I need to post this video. I made a compilation. It's in CapCut right now of him sleeping absolutely anywhere. It's so cute because then that sleep leap hit. People call it a 4 month sleep regression, but I don't like calling it that because really what's happening is they're progressing. They're taking in way more stimulus because they can start to see further. They're listening. They're becoming more aware, which is overwhelming for them and exciting. And so they're thinking about all of this stuff, which then makes it harder for them to fall asleep. Similar to how most adults, like, you can't just fall asleep anywhere, anytime, because it's like, it's really loud or it's bright or I'm thinking about work. Like, we have to prepare ourselves to go to sleep more. Well, that's pretty much what's happening during this 4 month sleep leap. And so he's not just sleeping anywhere all the time, which means we had to be way more diligent about his naps. Not just where he's napping, but the time of his naps, because you have to like help them get to sleep more. So we've been putting him in the Magic Merlin suit, which is like a weighted sleep outfit thing. And it helps put like some pressure to like help their anxiety a little bit. It's been really, really helping. And we're putting him in a dark room. We do the white noise. I never thought I would be that mom. But for right now, everyone is happier when he gets his naps in. I'm letting it unfold this way. And it's not all bad because previously, when he could sleep anywhere all the time, I was doing so many outings, like literally every day. It's like library, museum, let's go to Amsterdam. Because when he's a newborn, like they're so easy, like they're so chill. But now he's needing more help. So it's easier to just have him be at home. And it's good timing because we have this shed done. So now Clay and I are getting more caught up on work, hence me doing the podcast now. Clay's like taking on more clients. I'm able to do more with the shop. I also wanted to tell you guys about the vendor bingo activation that I did at my store. Q1, January, February, March is historically the slowest time for retail, at least for us, because Christmas shopping already happened. It's freezing in Omaha. There's just not a lot that people need to be shopping for in January, February, March, because I mean, I feel the same way. You're like, I'm just cold. I don't really want to go to the store, take all of my winter clothes off to be naked in this dressing room and try on a bunch of clothes with like wet snow boots. It's just a lot. But obviously it hurts our business for it to go down so much in those months. And I wanted to keep the vibes high with the staff and be like, what could we do to help us prepare for a busy spring? Because it's like once March, April, May, June, July, August hit, like we are on the ground running. Like we had a sidewalk sale last weekend and it was an absolute madhouse. So I'm like, let's use this time wisely to do some other things behind the scenes that will help us have an even better busy season. And so I came up with this vendor bingo, which had 16 squares of activities that the vendors could participate in, such as having a family or friend write a Google review, creating content, things like that, that really do help the business, especially from a marketing perspective. And so there's 14 girls of the staff now. Not everyone participated, but most of them did. And a couple of people got a full like blackout bingo, so they could do a pop-up at the shop. And the rewards were also just cash and store credit, depending on how many boxes you checked. So they had the 3 months, January, February, March, to do all those activities. And then in April, I reviewed all the scorecards, awarded their prizes, and coordinated when they could do their pop-ups through the coming months. All in all, it was a really good activation. I'll definitely do it again because we are up 27% on sales already for this year compared to previous years. So having people care more and be involved during that lower dip actually made us not have such a low dip for the down season. And now we're having an even busier and better busy season, which last thing to say on this note, if you are in Omaha and want to be a reseller, I probably need two or three more. I have one girl for sure starting this month, so I'm onboarding her now. Another gal who used to be a reseller but had to take some time off for a family event. I'm trying to get her to come back if she feels ready in her heart to do that. But yeah, I probably still need at least another person because even with 16 people, I think we will still be working hard to keep up on quality inventory. So please reach out and apply on 1404's website if you want to be a reseller. It's so much fun and such a good community that we have at the shop of vendors, and our group chats on Slack are so fun. Then April 27th, we celebrated our first King's Day. This is where everyone wears orange. If you've ever seen anything about King's Day, of people like going crazy all over the Netherlands wearing orange, dancing on boats out in the streets, it's King's Day. I didn't really know what to expect. I would say for us at this time in our life, it was pretty overstimulating. Music was really loud. We're not like drinking much right now. Like occasionally we'll have like wine or a beer, but like it's a party. And being sober at that with a newborn, I was like, okay, I can do this for a little bit, but I think I'm ready to go home. Next year, I want to rent a boat because I feel like on the water at least, not in Amsterdam. Amsterdam is crazy anywhere. All of the canals are crazy. But in some of these smaller cities and towns outside of Amsterdam, if you're on the water, you can like see people partying on shore, but you don't have to be like in it. And if it's good weather, I feel like a picnic on a boat is like the perfect way to celebrate without having all of the stimulation. We would have done that this year if I had had the foresight. But by the time I went to book a boat, the only option was 7 p.m. And I was like, no, I wanted this to be like a day thing. Because people, King's Day celebrations start the night before, but even the full go of it starts at 6 a.m. And it was even Monday this year. And 6 a.m., bright and early, vendors are set up, people are outside, people are celebrating. It is like an all-day thing. So I think it would make sense to get the boat at like, I don't know, 10 a.m. or something and be out until 4 p.m. But next year, at least we did it though. It was our first King's Day and we got to check it off the list, which pretty much brings us to now because it's May 4th. Now it's May. New month. I'm here. I'm getting caught up on Already Friends. Like I said, all the updates are on Patreon. I'm going to do a What Would Your Bestie Do? The Q&A. So please send in any questions that you might have so I can get those transferred over to a document to do for an episode. And then also, if you want to say goodbye to the podcast with me and all of us so we can grieve this ending together, go to the website, alreadyfriendspodcast.com. There's a say goodbye page. I'll link it in the show notes. And you can submit a nice message that I can read anonymously, or you can leave your name if you want me to say your name. If the podcast positively impacted your life, if it made you feel less alone, if it was just a highlight of your week, I would love to hear the impact that the show had on your life, because letting go of Already Friends has been really, really tough for me. And it's going to be sad as I continue to grieve this closing, but it will make it softer and sweeter to have you guys say goodbye with me. So yeah, I will probably be recording that in a week. So please send in a goodbye message as soon as possible so that I can make sure that it makes the episode recording. I don't want to dwell on this now. We'll have our sentimental time. But I hope all of this life update catch-up was fun. I've been talking for a long time. I hope you guys are thriving in your lives this spring. It was great to hang out today and get caught up. I hope you have a beautiful week, and I will catch you next week. Bye.